Blog Talk Radio.
Have that talent. Welcome to North Carolina.
Have that talent.
Have that talent.
I'm gone.
Got that rhythm.
I'm gone.
Have that talent.
I'm gone.
Got.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
I'm gone. I'm gone.
Come on, come on.
I'm gone.
Alathia family, greetings and hotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room, and we are embarking upon a continuation of our celebration. As you know, I said the end of the program would end in May. However, we're going to carry this one over, folks. We're going to stay in the mode of celebration to teach you about your African rituals and customs. We found it necessary to bring it back in that light so that we can talk to you a little bit just why we made the transition for Maya Angelou in the manner that we did and why customs and traditions of African customs are vital and important. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't know how to marry ourselves and how to bury ourselves if we don't know our customs and tradition. Don't think that it's strange that I took an hour yesterday to use rituals and calling on the ancestors to aid and assist me in the transitional ceremony for Maya Angelou yesterday. We're going to continue on with the path of looking at African customs, rituals, and traditions of Africans. Now, there is a lot of talk on the scene. And it's brand new information, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not passing gossip. I just want you to know what's being said out there. In the Akashic records, someone had in their loins that maybe possibly we were not aliens from the United States, but as a matter of fact, this may have been our land, and we may have been customarily brought up here in this country called America, and we weren't aliens after all who were ushered over here on ships and boats. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, they're talking about, is it possible to calculate a country that was the third largest country in population losing one-third of their people to slavery to come to the United States? And if that was the case, that continent would no more be the third largest population anymore because they would have lost their African Americans to coming to the United States. And furthermore, they go on to say that there were not ship making in that massive amount that would accommodate the large population of slaves on the ship, which they claim. Now, we never asked the questions, where did the boats come from? Who were the builders of these boats? And how did these African Americans cohabitate on these ships with all the fecal matter? It would have killed them alone because we know bile is toxic and it does kill. Now, no one ever asked that question. How did you preserve all of those slaves? And how did they make it here unharmed or untoxic? And we did not go on to ask the question about where are the ships now and can we see them? And I know they talk about the good ship Jesus, but where are the rest of the ships? Did they use the good ship Jesus to bring every African slave here? And why do they talk about it takes 65,000 years to make a slave? So we couldn't have been made on the way here. They had to make a slave over 65 years. So my question is, could this gentleman be correct when he said that we are not aliens here in this country? We are actually from America. But let's look at the term America. Now, I'm talking fast because I have a lot to say to you today, people. Let's look at the term African and America. First of all, first and foremost, I can vouch for this particular statement. The term Africa did not come from the African people. They do not know the term Africa. That term was given to them by Europeans. They used the term Arcadia land. So therefore, that term, you have to decipher it and get the correct definition. Africa means a colonized country that has been overturned and defeated. That's what the term means. Now, as you know, they were colonizing our people. And the term black in the dictionary means something blotted out. So why are we using the term black in our description of our nationality, meaning that we are defeated people that's been blotted out in history? Why can't we look at using non-immigrant if we were going to use anything? It's very important what we call ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. We can no longer call ourselves African-American. That's out. So let's get it clear. Don't get it twisted. We do not want to be a defeated foe that has been colonized through using the word African or America, because those terms were used to defeat a country of people who happen to be colonized. So then all of these questions are coming up. We've got to process, and in processing we ask questions. We don't make inference. We don't assume everything that someone puts in print or tells us is correct. We must make our own inference, and we must also collect our own data to understand why are we calling ourselves these terms. Why are we calling ourselves African American and black at that? Now we're blotted out in history, and we're insignificant. So let's talk about it. So why is it that we fought for integration and they gave it to us? At least they want us to believe they gave it to us. The integration of two people coming together, coming to the table, and Africans having nothing to integrate. So therefore, we collapse into Eurocentric thinking. We gave up all of the ownership that we did have when we owned the bus companies and we owned the businesses down in Harlem. We gave all of those up, all in the name for saying, I'm better than this. I can fellowship with them, and I could go into their all-white bathrooms, and I can go to their all-white schools. So now we got all those things. But where has it gotten us? We're in the all-white bathrooms and in the all-white institution, and we've not gotten any further in the civil rights movement. Was it a hoax? Did Dr. Martin Luther King lead a coup to make us believe that we were actually obtaining something? Now, that's being said also. And Dr. Martin Luther King said something very important, that we are being treated like aliens in our own country, like we are foreigners in our own country, meaning that America was ours. And they found us here initially. They didn't bring us here. We didn't let, Plymouth Rock didn't land here. Plymouth Rock land on Africans or Acadia land people. And better yet, we should call ourselves by our nationality. And if you haven't checked out your DNA, you should. You should find out which tribe you're from. I'm Senegalian, a Senegalian. Or find out if you're Nigerian. Find out if you're Wolof. Find this out so you can know your real nationality. Or we're all dressed up, and we're all suited up with our PhDs and EDDs and MEDs, and we are no farther along than we were before we got those credentials. Somebody has played a trick on the African American by giving them the wrong name. Give it back. You can claim your own nationality. If you don't have one, let me give you one. Call your nationality Yoruba. It is a tribe of people that are in the coast of Nigeria. You can adopt that name for the time being. And you can learn their customs and traditions and languages. Now, the Nigerians are as good as anyone, and their capital is Abuja. Say it with me, Abuja, for those bougie people that have to know where they're going. Now, here's what I want to talk to you about, ladies and gentlemen. And what got me all fired up is when I made that transition from Maya Angelou. I knew she would have wanted it that way. Her customs were always rich and always seemed to tap into our rituals and customs and tradition. Even her dance, her headdress, her clothing, all of that. So why is it that when we get something over 5 cents, we're ready to go to the Eurocentric way of lifestyle and move out of the hood and find a way to rub our pennies together in their neighborhoods so we can say, I want my child to have the best and have something I never had before? That's just it. You don't want to give your child something foreign that you never had before. Your ancestors are calling you back to your senses by telling you to take your money and build a communal system where everyone has something. You know, we deal with the we concept. I am because we are, and because we are, therefore I am. We cannot be unless we help our sisters and brothers be. I be, she be, they be, we all be. Now, you got to get it right, brothers and sisters. Quit stepping high, going downtown with the Eurocentric name, thinking you got something. Your riches comes from your relationship. Say it with me. Your riches come from your relationship. Our relationships with culture and rituals are very, very rich because they're ancient and old. Nobody can tell you the inception of the African because they don't know when he first came here and when he first came on the scene. We have always been here. So we have rich relationship, which makes us rich. Rich in our character, rich in our nature. And we must cohabitate with the riches of the forest and of the land. A people that has been torn away from their land is a broken people. Show me a people that has no land, and I'll show you a broken people. How can you possess a land that they've taken from you and say that you're an American when homes are being stripped away? We've got to get accustomed to organizing ourselves, to looking at the bartering system. We've gotten so trapped in this monetary currency system of a dollar bill, y'all. The George Washingtons and Lincolns and Jeffersons, we've gotten so wrapped up into that currency that we feel that elaborating ourselves with gold and dollar bills, y'all, is going to make us rich. I want you to know that this currency is on its way out. The only richness you will have is in your association and relationship. And don't think just because you can rub up against someone who has something that you're going to appear to be rich. You have to be rich in understanding your heritage. And the dignity that you carry is not a false one. It is a real one. And you are not walking around pompous and pride because of the things and stuff you got. You got to learn the heritage of our people is what makes us rich. Now, Maya would have wanted me to preach this way. I know she would. And she would have wanted me to take 2 days on explaining why she moved to Africa and picked up the customs and traditions when she could have moved anywhere in North Carolina that she wanted to. North Carolina is a rich place. Don't get me wrong. There are some places here that our mothers and fathers carried that knapsack and picked cotton that belongs to us. This is where we should first start to find little Africa in our own backyards. And we should cultivate that land and build communal lifestyles where we can grow our own crop and have a flow of irrigation of water to keep our crop growing. And we can build our institution and our homes on that land. Now, Africa's been handing land over to everyone that go there. Then why not just go and get the land and build a house on it for safekeeping because you never know? Build a house on that and have a second home if need be. But I do believe that our time is up here. and there's no more need for us. Yes, we've entertained the Europeans and kept them entertained through playing sports and basketball, football, and all sorts of entertainment, and dancing too, and acting too. Yes, but there's some new people on the scene that they can substitute for you. So you've got to get your house in order. You can no longer be collecting all this money to spend every dime you've in a Eurocentric community. You've got to save something, and you've got to allow that dollar to circulate in your own communal settings. I didn't say community because you don't have one. We've got to set up our own communal settings. Now, you remember when I talked to you before about the idea of looking to the black woman and her concept of polygamy? It wasn't so all bad as we wanted to believe, or I wanted to believe. It's not a bad thing to take that whole concept and break it down, break it down, break it down, break it down, because there's some truth in what the black woman was wanting for her family. She wanted all women to feel protected and to have a covering over their head, to have a name from a man, so when she went out in the courtyard, she was highly respected and she wasn't had or taken. Because that's what happened to single women who don't have a man on their shoulder or a name that they could carry. The Bible says she would say, just let me wear your name. Just let me carry your name. That's all the black woman wants. And there's something to be had in that concept. And we've got to look at it. We've got to look at these men coming out of prison, how to rehabilitate them and clean them up and make them suited and fit to be a husband, because there's a lot of women that need husbands. And I know what I'm talking about because I carried a name for 37 years, and it was the best thing I could have did to be known as somebody's missus and not somebody's mistress. Don't get it twisted. This scandal thing that you're watching about somebody's mistress, that comes out of slavery. Hell, we've always been somebody's bedwitch or somebody's mistress. It don't take a lot of knowledge to be a mistress or a bedwitch, but it takes intelligence to have dignified women to set up a camp and a campground where they service their families and all children are fed. And everybody's child is somebody's child, and they're all taken care of. And everybody's mama is somebody's mama that is taking care of the village, and the village is being held down by all the sisters. Now, don't think it's strange that over in North Carolina, they wanted to reinvent African Kujichagulia, the ability to name for themselves and to determine who their heroes would be, and to create an African environment of the village. Don't think that is strange. The gentleman that headed up that camp has been trying to teach us since 1990 how to cultivate our lives and how to put African concept back in our lives. Now, why are we running so far away from that? And why are we frowning upon our own holidays like the holidays of Kwanzaa? Kwanzaa is just one of them. But I want to teach you that March 21st, 22nd, 23rd is your holiday. Now take it on and carry it like a brother or sister should, because that is our African holiday of our African History Day. That is a day that we want to accelerate on. We want to start now by getting cloths and fabrics from Africa, buying goods and services and building and preparing for those three holidays and those celestial days where we prepare all of our spiritual rituals and buy up as much of the candles as we can and our statues and our Florida water and have it prepared. For everyone that comes to that convention, those 3 days, they must have fabric. They must have their spiritual tools. Excuse me. And they must buy these things in advance to keep the dollar circulating in the black community. Then set up your flea markets and bring all of your things and wares together and set a price on them, even if you have to barter them to get started. Then this is how you economically determine how rich you're going to be. Now, I'm saying this because my foundation came from this. My foundation came from a tribe of three families coming together, compiling all of their economic status together and living under one roof, Native American style. We didn't go to the stores. We had our own farms that we rented, and we cropped our own food, and we canned it and preserved it so we had meat in the winter season. And we knew how to take other people in and to show them these gifts. So what I'm giving you is something that I live by. This was a foundation in our family. And it's very vital that we quit talking about being African-American and being proud. I'm black and I'm proud. What does it mean to be black and proud when you don't know the customs of living right? We got to have a quality of life, not just having a form of godliness, going to church with our noses in the air, thinking that we're saved from something that our brothers and sisters are going to inhabit it. You are no more saved than the next person. God said he's going to let it rain on the just and the unjust. So rain is coming down on your household. What sense does it matter for you to shelter yourself from the rain and the rain comes down on your brother's household? What your brother experienced, you experience. Remember, we are one people, but we're acting like defeated people. When we allow our brothers to be character assassinated and destroyed, it's just like we're getting our own bodies destroyed. We are one, and we must be seen as one communal. So I'm teaching on this strong that culture is very important. It's very vital that we should get a grip of what our real customs are and traditions are. And we don't just have a heritage. We have custom and tradition, ancient tradition, to go far back. As when we found Lucy up in the high places, we can pinpoint our grandmother. We know where they found our grandmother, and the bones of that niche were DNA of a black woman. So we know we date back far, far, far. We know our mother's mother from our mother's mother. And when you can begin to trace your mother's mother far back as Dagnish, and what they called her as Lucy, we know she to be Dagnish. When we have that kind of custom and heritage, then we have a rich heritage. Why are we playing second fiddle to someone who's leading us astray? Now, we're sitting here looking at, Obama, and we're saying, oh, but Obama is not a pureblood African, he is a foreigner. Then let's slip him to black from time to time if you think he has a white mother and a black father. Every now and then let's slip him to black and remind him about his blackness and his obligation to us. Don't let him get away with playing the role of a matriotic mother who's white and acting white. We must allow him to be accountable for his blackness. Everyone that has this blackness is accountable for this melanin that rattles in their chest cavity. The melanin is what gives us the right to look back and say our ancient people laid down a foundation of over 40 million years of having success in their community and of ruling and ruling with righteousness and prosperity. The ancient ones, as we look back into our cosmic record, we know they fared well, and there were women that ruled right alongside men. How can a rich nation think that they're still in captivity and slavery? See, we have just traded clothes. We came up out of slavery with the burlap and the slave clothes and just changed it for a attaché case and a tie and a suit, and now we're enslaved more than one way than we know. We're enslaved to these jobs, and we have no loyalty to our customs and tradition. I want to tell you, the best thing you can leave your children as a heritage and as an heirloom is their custom and tradition so that they're proud, not only proud, but they go a step further and do something with those gifts and not just be proud and arrogant. We've got to understand economics, and we've got to get over the greenhouse, and we've got to stop buying these second-class citizen materials and knowing that they are temporal. And we've got to stop spending every dime that we have and start investing in ourselves so that we don't become extinct. We know that the bald eagle came off the list. He was an endangered species. Now the black man has gone on the list in his place. And they don't think that they'll be taking him off anytime soon. We got to take our black man off that list because he is not the next extinct person. He will live past 25 years, and we've got to decree it, and we got to mandate it because we need our brothers at home to help us to create a village, and not just a village where every woman is taking care of a child. I say you don't have a village unless you have a people with a culture. You must first develop the culture. Then you develop the village around that. How are you going to have a foundation? Without a foundation, nothing will stand. You cannot just create windows around the village until you lay the foundation. The foundation is the culture that you must lay first. And all of these radio shows should think that it's important to lay a foundation to talk about our culture and who we really are. Why is it everyone knows about who we are but ourselves? They come and they wink at us, and they look at you to see if you discovered who you are and do you know which manner of man you are. And because they know you don't know who you are, it's easy for them to take advantage of you. When you know that you're the Christ-like person, when you know that you're the Elijah that the Jewish people speak of, when you know that you're Abraham's offspring, you don't have to go to church to determine that. There's something about a spirit inside of you tells you that you're royalty and that you came from royalty. I don't want you just to get pumped up with pride. I want to see villages and institutions named after us throughout these black chocolate cities. I want us to get up off this thing called a J-O-B, and start owning our own businesses. I'm not looking for a job. And those of you who send me something about a job, quit sending me something about a job. I'm going to own my own life, and I'm telling every young child to own your own life and own an institution. Have a philosophy, a mission statement, and leave a legacy behind. Like Maya Angelou left an institution behind that someone could research and see the pattern of her African threads of her life that leads back to her customs and traditions. You are going to have to get off of this thing about having your hair dyed and wearing Filipino, African, European hair. You're going to have to give it a rest. I took it off. You take it off for a while. And be yourself, black woman. You're beautiful. And allow your glory to shine. And we got to stop spending $500 and $600 on bags of hair. Yes, we got an image to keep up, but it's far better to keep up your beautiful, glowing image that glows from your presence of knowing who you are. The first preservation is to know yourself. Now, let us get on top of this thing about our blackness. We do not want to carry the name blackness because we know black means to blot out. We don't want our history blotted out. We first must determine what name we're going to go by. And we cannot speak words that have innuendos that execute and decree damnation upon a people by using the word nigger, a negro. We use these words in black to character assassinate ourselves. We must first determine how and what we're going to call ourselves. We have to start building a nation soon. And it's far time that we start laying the foundation for it, because the next March 21st, 22nd, 23rd is the date that we should set precedent that we're going to have our black history or our black heritage days set up, and we're going to start selling products now that we need to make those days possible for our African song, dancing, drumming, as well as performing and reactivating the process when we supposedly came here to this country and talking about what our ancestors went through. Our young people need to hear it because they're perishing for the lack of a foundation of who we are and what we went through. We have got to be like the Sankofa bird. We've got to look over our shoulder in order to create our future, because without a bit of our past, we cannot create our future. Now, I know Maya Angelou is looking down to see if we're going to carry the banner and to see if we're going to pick up where she left off at. Excuse me. As old as she was, 86 years old, she still had a desire for us to go back to Africa to have a foundation. Now, if they didn't take us from Africa, we know we belong there because we're the burnt-skinned people, and we've got to get back to that area. And I want to say this to you. I did a taping earlier today, part one and part two, with me showing you how to set your altar up and how to bring spiritual things within your home. You can go out and take a look at it on my YouTube channel under African Customs and Rituals Part 1 and Part 2. It might just say Rituals Part, it may not even say Part 1 and Part 2, but you definitely want to take a look at that, because I think it's very vital that we should always be not only African in our heart, but we should live it every day. Now, if you want to come into the chat room, please do come in the chat room. This is a segment where we're transitioning from the youth now, and this is for the family. So we're talking to the family in general, how we can become more ritualistic and how we can practice our rituals and custom and be more African. And we're celebrating the African New Year's Day now, and we're going to celebrate for a while. So when March 21st, 22nd, 23rd gets here, you know what to do. You can start making your songs now, creating your music, your drumming, your dances, and putting them together. Going to the flea market and start to order some of your things and selling your things right here in Gary. I had to close my eyes to just wonder, what is this thing about a flea market? Why is it so directly related to the markets over in Africa? Everywhere you go, we reproduce ourselves like the Africans do by selling their wares and their goods in a market. Even some of the handicapped Africans get out. If they have to crawl on their knuckles and their knees, they still get to the X point and Y point of selling their products and their goods, and they exchange their goods, and they meet each other in the marketplace. And each day they encourage each other to strive a little bit further and come out every day, no matter how sick and tired they may be. They look forward to the fellowship of coming together. Well, we got that right here in Gary, Indiana, one of the biggest flea markets right on Ridge Road in Gary, Indiana. I want to see them update themselves to a point of being more African-centric rather than Euro-centric. I want to see them sell the customary products that come out of Africa and the ritual tools that we use for our altar. I want to see them get more inclined to buy more African wholesale products. And I want to see them teach about this concept, not only sell products, but teach about it, so that they will understand what they're supposed to do with the ritual table and how they're supposed to call upon their ancestors and how they are supposed to do libation. Because everywhere we go in the African chocolate city, somebody should be opening up the prayer with libation, and Florida water should be poured to the ground to sanctify the area and to hollow that space out. But how many black churches are teaching about this? None. Because they call themselves Afrocentric, but they know nothing about the customs and tradition. Well, we've got to educate them. We've got to go into some of these churches and educate them, because this is what the little black brothers and sisters want. They want to hear something about who we really are and what are our customs and traditions. They want to hear this. They want to hear a little bit about jazz and how we can incorporate jazz to tell them about who they are. Let's talk a little bit about why jazz is so important in the black community. It was once a sophisticated topic where those intellects would only talk about jazz, like Nina Simone and also Anita Baker. They brought forth these songs that were so complex, but at the same time they were scatting. And our young people don't know nothing about scatting and why Louis Armstrong scattered in a place of lyrics and words. And what did the scatting mean? Was it from the soul and the spirit where you get so high you don't have words to express it, so you scatter it out so they can figure out where is this brother going and where is his spirit taking us? So it's important that we should know something about jazz. And let me hip you to a little tune here. Here's another jazz tune for you. Check it out.